Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Now, the last week has certainly tested this administration. Mistakes were clearly made, and as a result, we let down the people we're entrusted to serve.
Governor Christie from the State of the State address yesterday. He spent the first 90 seconds on Bridgegate, then went on to propose a longer school day and school year, no mention of how to pay for it, proposed more changes, meaning worker givebacks to the public employee pension system, and touted the state's private sector job growth along with the shrinkage in the public sector workforce. With me now for a response is the state Senate president, point man on so much of this for the Democratic majority in the legislature, both on policy and the Bridgegate investigation, and we'll talk about both, Senator Steve Sweeney. Senator, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I appreciate it.
And listeners, you can call up with your reactions to these policy proposals in the State of the State, as well as anything new on Bridgegate, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. By the way, last year at the State of the State, if I remember correctly, you and the governor fist bumped. I didn't see any fist bump this year. Have things changed?
Last year I was sick, Brian, and I don't believe in shaking people's hands when you're sick. You know what I mean? So the fist bump was just trying not to spread a germ.
All right. And we'll get to the – but still, I think things have changed, right? You have a reputation as somebody who has worked with the governor very closely, sometimes to the chagrin of other Democrats. How different are things today than a year ago?
You know, Brian, they're different because we got the distraction of this Bridgegate situation, or, you know, that's what we're calling it. But, you know, at the end of the day, to me, we still have the work of the people to get done. So, you know, yeah, I had people mad at me in the past, but it was for things that we had to get done, like pension reform and health care reform and, you know, things that I actually really believed in. And so we're going to continue to find ways to work to get things done. But, you know, we're trying to minimize this distraction of this bridge issue because, you know, the people expect to see progress. New Jersey is 41st in unemployment, which means we, it's not where we want to be, and we got to focus on the economy and get people back to work.
And we'll get to the Bridgegate issue in a bit, but let's talk about some of the governor's policy proposals first. One thing is his proposal for a longer school day and a longer school year. He didn't say how to pay for it, but listen again to what he did say.
It's antiquated both educationally and culturally for the world we live in. Life in 2014 is much different than life 100 years ago, and it demands something more for our students.
So, Senator Sweeney, do you want to find a way to do a longer school day and a longer school year?
Look, we would love to do that, but he's not funding the school funding formula that we passed. That passed, you know, constitutional muster, you know, last time around. So, you know, it's great to, you know, to propose all kinds of plans, but when you don't have the ability to pay for it, it's not, you know, truly being honest.
Do you have any quick back of the envelope estimate of what it would cost? Presumably, teachers would have to be paid more to work more. And any other expenses?
Well, Brian, there's other issues. You know, right now we have a 2% cap that schools are under. So we would have to adjust the cap, obviously. Then you have the reality is that a lot of our schools are old and would need to be upgraded with, you know, air conditioning at a minimum because, you know, having kids go into July, you know, he hasn't said how much longer, but going into July, you know, a lot of our, you know, it's hard to learn. It's hard to teach and learn in buildings that are so, you know, heated, you know, during the summer. So, again, there's many things that would have to be addressed before we could do it. Brian, I would like a lot of things to happen, too. But we try to present the facts as they are. The resources aren't there to provide these things. And the thing that was more troubling to me than anything was basically saying that well, if we don't do the pension payment, I can do these things. And, you know, we made a big deal out of that overhaul of the pension system and making that pension payment. So, you know, that was the more troubling part of it.
And let me play a clip of the governor on that. Obviously, this is a big point of contention instantly between him and the legislature for more pension concessions by current state workers. He said pension changes, but that's presumably what it would be, more pension concessions by at least current state workers and how they contribute, rather than spend the $1 billion that the state would otherwise have to spend to restore the pension fund to solvency, which I guess is planned spending or had been planned spending for fiscal 2015. Here's the governor on that and the choices that he says it presents you and the taxpayers with.
For fiscal year 2015, the increase in pension and debt service costs could amount, the increase could amount to as much as nearly $1 billion. That's nearly $1 billion that we can't spend on education, that we can't invest in infrastructure improvement, that we can't use to put more cops on the street, that we won't have available to us to increase access to health care. Now, for those who would advocate higher income taxes like the ones I vetoed before, remember that the amount raised by that tax would not even cover the increase in our scheduled pension payment for next year and would undoubtedly make us less competitive in this fiercely competitive national job market.
So, Senator Sweeney, what's your reaction to that when the governor puts it that way?
Brian, my reaction is we knew these numbers when we made the deal on the pension. We knew what the costs were going to be year to year. We knew about growth. We knew about debt service. And we made a commitment. We went to the employees of the state. And, you know, it was not a positive conversation with the employees. They were going to contribute more to the pension system, and then we would make ours. So we're up to $1.8 billion. We got to get to $6 billion. No one said it was going to be easy, Brian, but we cannot renege on a commitment to fund the pension.
Is it clear to you what the governor would be asking for in terms of additional pension changes?
Well, it's not clear, and I'm going to have conversations with him on what are they looking at. You know, when we did the pension, it's called pensions, it's called smoothing, when we spread the payment out over 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we could absorb it with growth. And we have had growth in the state, Brian. There's $1.8 billion new dollars in the pension system that was, you know, when this administration started, it was zero contribution to $1.8 billion. It's very good, but it's absorbing every new dollar. But we knew that when we made this deal to overhaul things and to save the $120 billion that the governor talks about over 30 years. So this is belt-tightening time, and I understand that. It's going to consume a lot of things that we would like to do. But if it's about going back to the employees and having a conversation on can we make this adjustment or that adjustment in order, and I don't know what they are right now, Brian, in order to provide more resources to improve services, but that's a discussion we have to have with the employees. And I got to tell you, I am lock solid committed to the commitment that we made when we did pension reform, which was to fund it.
But you're acknowledging the governor's main point there, I think, which is that without going back to the employees and asking more for more pension changes, that money that the state would have to contribute to make the pension fund solvent again would suck the air out of the budget for all these other important things, like education and public safety and everything else.
Yeah, but it was also important for the retirement of 800,000 people that pension's solvent. You know, we don't want to be a situation where Detroit or other places where they're teetering on bankruptcy on their pensions. We made a promise to these employees, Brian, and it's not our money to play with. This is their money. This was the commitment to them and the deal that was made to them. So, yeah, sure, I'd like not to pay my bills too so I could go out and do other things.
Yeah.
That's not fair to the employees. And, you know, I've had my battles with the employees. You know that. But that is absolutely not fair to tell the employees, look, I really want to use this money for something else. I know I promised to make your pension payment, but, you know, I'd rather do something else. Brian, we knew walking in, we had a very difficult situation we were dealing with, and it was going to be hard for the next several years, but we made a promise, and we have to keep the promise. Now, again, I'm open to listening to what he would propose, and I would, but this would have to be a discussion with the employees. But, you know, Brian, we just did a pension bill in Jersey City. Jersey City had the most underfunded pension system in the state. It was like 41% funded. When we made the changes, we insisted on all the money going back into the pension and bringing it back to health quicker, not to go into a budget, not to be, you know, not to be able to spend. Everybody wants to find money to spend to do things that they, obviously, elected officials like to do, deliver new programs, but you have to pay for them. And I'm not going to take money that was committed out of one pot and then put it in a different pot and break my word.
The governor targeted public sector employees for savings in other ways, too, including not being paid cash for unused sick days and giving up some job protections to make it easier for municipalities to consolidate to help lower property taxes. Let's take each one of those briefly. If consolidation is a key to lowering property taxes, which I think everyone agrees with, they need to be able to lay off people, right?
Well, listen, consolidation will reduce, what it really reduces is on the top. You don't have the redundancies in administration. And that's where the big salaries are, Brian. I've done more shared services than anyone in the state when I ran the county of Gloucester. And I'm proud of what we were able to accomplish. And in my little county, we were saving $30 million annually on shared services. There is real money in sharing of programs and services. You know, consolidation, I got to tell you, is something that I'm a realist. I want to be able to know what I can accomplish. I know I can get shared services. You know, Princeton Borough is exactly what should be done. They did it. It took many years. It was courageous when there was elected officials. And there was an article where it says services are up and costs are down. So we collect plenty in taxes. There's plenty of money to run government. We can improve services. We can put more police on the street. We can do all those things and honestly not raise taxes with just reducing the redundancy from community to community to community.
And the redundancy you're saying is more in management? It's in police commissioners rather than police officers, that sort of thing?
Absolutely, and that's where the money's at, Brian. I'll use my county because I'm so familiar with it. I got 24 towns. 24 towns had at one time 24 police chiefs. We only have 300,000 people down here. You don't need 24 police chiefs. And when you start structuring it, you have less chiefs, less captains, less lieutenants, and they're the big salaries, Brian. That's where the savings are because you still need the people on the street. We need more cops on the street. We don't need more chiefs and captains and lieutenants. We need more people on the street that are responding to the issues that we need.
And I want to get to Bridgegate in a minute, but on the unused sick days idea, again, the governor saying, you know, do you want to dig in on cash for sick days rather than make them not get paid for the days they weren't actually sick and didn't actually miss work?
Listen, I agree. You shouldn't, you know, it's a wonderful benefit. And at the end of the day, you shouldn't cash out. You shouldn't. It's wrong. But I have to tell you, we gave the governor a bill that we worked on with him a couple of years ago that would have ended the practice. First, you can't take away what people have already accrued. So these outrageous numbers that people are saying, they're there. There was a deal to cap it at $15,000 payout. Now, I'm just told you, I agree, zero. It should be zero. But I also think we should have shut the spigot off, at least reduced it from the outrageous accumulations that these people are getting, and bring it down to where you at least you got it at $15,000 and then work to zero. Because I agree 100%. It's a wonderful benefit to have. And, you know, you hope that you go through life never being ill. But we shouldn't reward you with a big check when you leave.
All right,
but
so we have a little.
But we did have a bill to make a major step forward and then we could have continued to chop at getting it completely down to zero.
State Senate President Steve Sweeney reacting to Governor Christie's State of the State address. We can take a few of your phone calls, too, on any of these proposals we've been talking about. Longer school day, longer school year, more pension changes rather than the state contributing the $1 billion additional that it is scheduled to, unused sick days. Let's turn to Bridgegate. Oh, 212-433-WNYC. For those of you who don't have the number, and you can call on Bridgegate, too, 212-433-9692. The governor senator made a statement in the speech that sounded conciliatory at first blush on Bridgegate, but I think was also intended to draw a line in the sand. He said he would cooperate with all appropriate inquiries. Here's the clip.
We will cooperate with all appropriate inquiries to ensure that this breach of trust does not happen again. But I also want to assure the people of New Jersey today that what has occurred does not define us or our state.
So he's trying to sound very open to cooperation with the investigations, but he also, to my ear, reserved the right to declare some inquiries inappropriate by putting it that way. Do you anticipate any problems getting information from the governor's office?
I don't anticipate it, Brian. I certainly hope not. I would expect them to cooperate fully with the process that we're doing in the legislature, and obviously the U.S. attorney is not. I don't think the U.S. attorney will back down at all from what they're looking to proceed with. At the end of the day, Brian, we have to get to the bottom of this. We need to get the answers, and you know that's what we're focused on. You know, we wanted to work with the assembly on a joint committee. That didn't work out, but we agreed to coordinate so we don't duplicate, and we stay focused on, again, gathering the answers, because there's a lot of answers that have to be gathered. So I would expect the administration to fully cooperate with this investigation, because the people of the state of New Jersey deserve to get the answers. And wherever the investigation takes us, Brian, it takes us.
You know, on Meet the Press Sunday, political analyst Mark Halperin predicted the possibility of a state constitutional crisis in New Jersey because you might subpoena Governor Christie to testify or his emails or other documents, and he may claim executive privilege. Do you plan to issue such subpoenas?
Brian, we're just going to have starting having discussions with the assembly on this. That is way too far out in advance. And honestly, you know, who knows what the U.S. attorney is going to be doing? He has authority that I don't think anyone, he could claim that kind of executive privilege. So we're not looking to do anything but coordinate with the assembly to get the investigation going in both houses. And where it takes us, if there's reason to go there, that's where we will go. But again, we're going to do the investigation, Brian. I've told people this. You know, you have to run the race before you declare victory or say you finished it. And we have a whole lot of steps to go before we make any determination on who, what, where. We know certain things now. And the things that we saw from Ms. Kelly were sickening, to be honest with you. And we need to, again, to proceed in a very professional way, seeking answers. And wherever this investigation will go, whether it's to, you know, all the way up to the governor or not. It'll be determined by what we're hearing.
John and Watchung on extending the school calendar. John, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, President Sweeney. My question is based on the idea of extending the school calendar. I think it's an idea that's worth considering, but I know that a lot of public school contracts require that the school not be in session during July and August. Partially, I think, because of the recreation industry in New Jersey and our tradition of having the shore here. So I wonder if either of you would like to respond to that.
Well, you know, that's an interesting angle and that I never thought about.
Are you suggesting, just to be clear, are you suggesting that the Jersey Shore businesses and others like that are a special interest opposing what the state needs for education reform?
Oh, no, I don't mean to malign anyone. I was merely stating that I think part of the reason that we cherish having these 2 months off, at least in the summer, is because we have so many opportunities for recreation mm-hmm. so close nearby, and that a lot of people who would be opposed to changing the school calendar may be not because they're opposed to education, but because they have those traditions so close to heart.
Right, and people like their summers off. So briefly, Senator?
You know, like I said, I think that's an interesting – I never thought of it that way, but I don't think that's the case. What's happening right now is we need to compete internationally. And in this country, our education system New Jersey's in the top in the nation. We got great schools and everything, but we're falling behind other nations that do have longer school years and that do have longer school days. So we're in an international marketplace, and we have to consider, looking at these ideas. The problem, honestly, more than anything, is we don't have the money to pay for this. And you know, it costs money. When you ask people to work additional time, it doesn't come free.
Bill in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Yes. Bill. Senator Sweeney, every municipality or most municipalities in New Jersey have a zoning board, a planning board. Many have parking authorities. All of those have lawyers and administrators. What proposal would you make to get rid of all those lawyers?
Listen, there's many different concepts, but one size doesn't fit all, to be honest with you. Other states that have less tax burden have county government-style governments. They don't have all these municipalities, so they don't have all that duplication. But, again, this is a state that it's an old state. It's one of the original states. So we're established the way we are, and it's basically trying to find ways to coordinate and consolidate. Some towns have consolidated their zoning board and planning board, so there isn't a duplicative process. Again, Brian, you'd be amazed how many things you can eliminate when you just start looking at it. My county, Gloucester County, is the only county in the state that has countywide tax assessment, where every town did their own. My county is the only county that has countywide EMS. I can go on and on and on where you can start to reduce the burden. We collect, if you added up all the money that we collected in taxes and then just really looked at how many people you really need to run it, you can improve services like they did in Princeton Borough and reduce costs.
All right.
It's a reality.
We have a few minutes left. Let me do a bridge-related lightning round. What do you think about the Rachel Maddow theory that the mayor of Fort Lee was not the real target of the traffic jam, but that the state Senate, hello, Senate President Sweeney, was for fighting him on judicial nominations, including Senator Weinberg from Fort Lee, one of his big antagonists?
No, that was a very unusual a look at it, to be honest with you. That's you have to really be a conspiracy person to think that.
In the first poll since the scandal blew up last week, the governor's job approval rating is still around 60%. Do you think the people don't get it or don't care about Bridgegate?
I think you'll see those numbers going down as people start to really focus more on what's going on, Brian. I think that, those numbers are not going to stay where they're at.
The ACLU has taken note of the fact that so much state business, as revealed in the scandal documents, seems to take place via top aides' personal Gmail accounts rather than official government email accounts. They want all state business, does the ACLU, to be conducted on public accounts. Is that a standard you would be willing to implement for the Senate Democrats or state government as a whole?
That's what it's supposed to be now.
Under what circumstances could you see the bridge scandal resulting in impeachment or recall?
The only way, look, if there is a direct connection, the governor had knowledge or the governor was directing it, well, then obviously that would cause that. But, Brian, we have not got there yet. But we are going to do that investigation. That investigation is going to go forward, and wherever it leads, it's going to lead.
Even knowledge of it?
If he had direct knowledge of it, yes.
Last thing, did you see Bruce Springsteen on Fallon last night doing his Bridgegate version of Born to Run?
No, I didn't. I had a long day yesterday, Brian, very long day.
Well, you're going to get your chance now to hear about a minute of it. State President Steve Sweeney, thank you very much for coming on with us and reacting to Governor Christie's State of the State address.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So, everybody, here's Jimmy Fallon on a show last night just before Bruce Springsteen joined him for the second verse of the new version of Born to Run.
In the day we sweat it out on the streets, stuck in traffic on the GWB. They shut down the toll booths of glory, 'cause we didn't endorse Christie. Sprung from cages on highway, now we got three lanes closed, so Jersey, get your ass in line. Oh! Democrats, we gotta get out, but we can't. We're stuck in Governor Chris Christie's Fort Lee, New Jersey traffic jam. Hey! Get in here! Hey! I get in here! Hey! Let me in, I wanna be your friend. There'll be no partisan divisions. Let me wrap my legs round your mighty rims and relieve your stressful condition. You got Wall Street master stuck cheek to cheek with blue collar truckers, and man, I really gotta take a leak, but I can't. I'm stuck in Governor Chris Christie's Fort Lee, New Jersey traffic jam.
All right, Jimmy Fallon doing an awesome Bruce there, and then Bruce himself.